Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 18 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I am Mark Vila, and today we're talking about Know Your Numbers, Part 2, The Theory of Buying Customers.
Or Part 2, depending on, you know, if you're in Louisiana or Montreal or someplace listening to us. And by the way, episode 18, that means the CAS podcast can now vote. I wonder who they'll vote for. It's not the right podcast for that conversation.
Always an entertaining time with you, Mark.
Yeah, Stevenson. Thanks. I appreciate that.
I'm gonna have some more coffee after that.
So this is an important podcast. Not that they're all not important, but in the last one, in episode 17, we really talked about how important it was to calculate the value of a customer. The value of a customer for this sale and their potential for going forward. But that doesn't mean a lot if you spent too much to acquire that customer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's exactly true. And what's particularly interesting about it for me is that some folks don't want to spend any money on their marketing or growth, or they don't want to buy customers using that word, because they don't have the money for it. Or they don't appear to have the money for it. However, if you do your math, then you do. You make more money.
Frequently, it's not that they don't have the money. It's they don't have the money for that.
Yes.
You know, so they'll have the money for a lot of other things, like, you know, I don't know, maybe trying something else new or buying some new doodad or, you know, spending 2 days, you know, hunting in Alachua County. But they don't have the money to invest in marketing. A lot of times it's because they don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, or you hear the stories, you know, of, oh, I went to this event, it cost me $1,500, I walked away with, you know, $200, and it cost me $20 to eat lunch.
Right, that's right.
You know, and then I think there's another side of it, of folks who are always throwing money into the marketing,
yes,
not paying attention to the numbers, and end up crashing and burning at some point in time.
Right, and that's more often. And the theory of buying customers is really to think about your customers just that, in cost of acquisition. So, for example, if you go to a marketing event, whether it's a fair or a show or something like that, you have a fixed cost. How much did it cost to rent a table? How much was my time, you know, involved in getting ready for the show and participating in the show? And how many customers did I get? How much money did I make? And that's simple math. You know, so you're going to know at the end I spent $1,000 on it, and at the end I made $2,000 on it. And there's some things in between, but it's kind of that simple.
Yeah, that was essentially worth the time. You know, but how do you know? You know, how do you know if it's going to be worth the time? You know, that's a tricky part. And I think that is the hardest part about spending any money on trying to get new customers.
Yeah, or spending any time. Because, you know, a lot of people will, you know, they won't even realize that they're marketing when they hop in the car and drive around and hand out business cards. So they won't ascribe a cost to it, and they don't keep track of the business that resulted from that.
So I think that maybe we could start doing a little bit of math here.
Okay.
And kind of break it down a little bit if you've got some to share with us.
I have a little bit.
Okay.
Because I actually use these kind of calculations in my daily life as a marketing guy. I'm pulling my sleeves down, you know, I'm fixing my collar.
Yeah, I see that.
As I say, a marketing guy. So let's say that you go to a, or let's use the driving around example because that's the easiest
one. Yeah.
So let's figure out the cost of what it costs you to hop in the car with a trunk full of samples and business cards and maybe a couple of brochures and go knock on doors. Okay, and just to introduce yourself to businesses in the area and see if you can't get some business.
So it's going to cost you, you've got the gas.
Right, so let's make up a number here. And let's say the gas is $50.
Sure.
Okay.
That's a good trip day.
Okay.
That's a good day. You put a lot of miles on that.
And how much do you pay yourself for that day? Because labor has to be a part, even if it's just you, of every calculation.
And that is really a good point, because you should factor that in, especially for growth.
Right.
Because what you might hope is to say, one day it'd be cool to pay somebody to do that.
Right, because if you don't assign some kind of a labor value to your time, then what you're going to find is by the time you're ready to hand it off, or you think you're ready to hand it off to somebody, you realize there's no money there to pay them.
Yeah.
Because you never worked that into the cost of your business.
So one easy thing you could do is just say, if I were to hire somebody,
yeah,
how much would I have to pay them an hour or commissions or whatever it might be, even if you rough estimate it.
Which I'm going to do right now, and sure. And keep in mind, this may seem like a huge amount of money in some parts of the country and be ridiculously cheap in others.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
just a regional, you know, hiring somebody to go knock on doors in Manhattan is a little bit more expensive than hiring somebody to do that in, you know, Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, okay? Sure.
So let's say $20 an hour. Okay, so $20 an hour, somebody's going to drive around for 7 hours. That's $140. So you've got $50 for the gas and $140 for the labor. Is there any other costs?
Well, you've got just actual hard copy goods you might be sharing, whether that might be samples, business cards, brochures, well, anything that costs you to make.
Let's say, I mean, business cards and brochures are pretty inexpensive. So let's just say that that's going to be $10.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll use $10. And then for samples, you're going to give away maybe 10 shirts.
Okay.
It's an expensive trip. We're
okay.
doing this right.
We're going
10
full
shirts,
out.
And the cost is going to be $5 a shirt.
All right. That's
that
a pretty good
okay?
number. I like that.
Okay. So that's another $50. Wow. That day costs you $250 to drive around.
Okay.
Now, think about that for a second. I want everybody to soak that in, because you may have thought that you throwing a couple things in the back of your car and driving around for the day was free. But it's actually costing you about $250. Okay, so your marketing cost for the day is $250. How many people do you think you could go by and see? Now, I'm not talking about a pro that like knocks on doors for a living, but just a business owner that's going to strip malls and seeing if they can't generate some business.
Well, based on the gas that you said there, I'm figuring you're driving over 300 miles.
Wow.
That's just the math.
Did I mention it's a...
Hummer?
It's a Hummer.
Okay.
It's a, it's a dually.
All right, so it's 150 miles. But, I mean, realistically, if you are... You should be able to hit a real number between 25 and 50 places...
Wow,
in a day, I
that
think.
Just seems like a lot. So let's go with 25.
What do you think?
I think I usually get tired after the fourth one. So
well,
and then I go to lunch, and then I have to stop at Starbucks and check my email.
Well, when I was in outside sales, our goal was we had to get 25 contacts/business cards a day when we were go out.
Okay.
That was our 8-hour day. You had to find 25.
Okay.
Now, some of those prospects, the point behind the 25 number is probably half of those prospects weren't very good prospects, but it was a number. It was
right.
part of playing the numbers
right.
game.
Right, and that's important here.
Yeah, so
about.
I would walk into, and it was an accounting firm,
right.
and it was just the owner and a secretary, and that's it.
Right.
Now, is that a great apparel prospect?
Probably not
a lot of money. However, I'll take their card if they would let me, and they were became in my database, because you never know.
I just want to point out here that we're not going to spend this whole podcast talking about knocking on doors.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just don't be afraid. If this is not one of your things, we're just using this as an
yeah,
example.
Yeah, just an example.
Right.
And we'll probably drop another example quick after this,
right.
too, I think. That'd be a good idea.
So let's say that you were able to see 25 people. And get their contact information.
Sure.
Okay? Because that's really important. That means you spend $250, you got 25 leads or signups, that's $10 a lead.
Sure.
So that customer cost isn't there yet, right? Because you don't have any customers.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think you could sell? I mean, you've spent more time in the apparel business than I have. If you went and you saw 25 people, give me an idea.
Well, so get people to say that within a short period of time, they will sign up and buy apparel.
Yeah.
A couple.
Okay. So three?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you get three sales, and an average sale is probably going to be, I don't know, $20 a shirt, and let's call it 14 shirts, $280.
Okay. All right. That's a good place to start.
Okay. So that's $280 times three. I'm doing math here. That is an $840 day.
Okay.
Okay. So subtract that from your marketing costs. You made $590.
All right.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not bad for revenue at all. And really, if you factor out all of your other costs behind that, it's still a profitable day.
Yes.
You know, in the end, after paying your employee, you, buying the shirts, running your equipment, paying for the marketing, doing all of that stuff, if you take all of that math out, your business will have profited at the end of the day. Meaning
absolutely.
That there's money in the bank beyond paying you $20 an hour to do that work.
Right. Now, here's the two important calculations, okay? And that's how much does a lead cost?
Mm-hmm.
So how much does it acquire you to get a potential customer?
A potential customer, yeah.
And then how much does a customer cost? Okay, so let's say that the marketing cost was $250. So we are going to take three sales.
Okay.
Equals $250 divided by three. $83 to get a customer.
Okay, so we spent $250.
Yep. We got three customers.
We got three customers. So for each customer that we got that day, it cost us $83.
Yes.
Okay. So now this is a great time where you take and you say, but how much was that sale for each of those customers?
Right. The average sale was $280.
Okay, $200. So then you start thinking, well, by the time I take the cost of my shirt, and was it worth to do that? And then this is where we go back to the value of the customer.
Right.
And we do that math.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel the need to say this one more time.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Because I imagine people are like driving in their car going, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So what we figured out is that the cost of driving around for the day in time and gas, et cetera, was about $250. You would put in your own number here. I have no idea what your costs are. Okay. And that if you spend the day doing that, you could probably get 25 leads or potential customers.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the cost of each one of those potential customers, it cost you $10.
Yes.
Okay, to get. That's kind of one calculation, is how much does it cost for you to get a lead? The other calculation is, you know, how much does it cost to get a customer? So if we sold three customers out of that, okay, so we drove around the day, we got three customers. The average sale was $280. That means you made $840 for the day. And you subtract the marketing cost, and what you get is a net $590 profit day.
Yes.
Or sales day.
Or sales day, revenue
right.
day.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing to consider with not just this example, but all of them, is that everything's got a long-term value to it.
Right.
So you got 25 leads, you closed 10% of them,
yep.
roughly. And however, you've still got 20 or so people that gave you their card or said, I might need shirts maybe one day, I don't know, possibly, that might need them again in the future. So it's one of these things where there's like always a long-term gain on all of this.
See episode 17 of the CAS podcast where we talked about the initial value of a customer and then what that might mean for your business down the road.
Yeah, so we've got this initial cost that it costs to get each individual customer.
Right.
How much we profited out of that deal. And we said that at the end, we actually made money.
Yes.
But going back to the previous episode, we're going to take that math and expand it over time and realize, wow, like this is not I didn't just make $150 profit today.
Right.
I've earned myself, say, $7,000 to $10,000 of profit over the course of a three-year period.
Right. Now, one thing we were talking about before the podcast is to remind everybody that when you do those initial value calculations from episode 17, that there's no guarantee for the longevity of the customer. So you should do these calculations and you should know them, but it's going to take you a while to work out the average longevity of a particular kind of customer, et cetera, to get those good long-term numbers. But you've got to start somewhere, and when you start with knowing the value or the cost per customer, the initial value of the order, then you've got a pretty bright future because you're watching your numbers.
Yeah, and that's, I think, that's that last little bit you said was just what I was thinking about. When you're watching your numbers, then you can start just allowing statistics to take care of themselves, probability to take care of themselves. So, you know, flipping a coin right now, we could flip it tails three times in a row. I mean,
however, it could happen.
You know, the theory, you know, the probability theory is as long as I keep flipping into infinity,
right,
it's going to get closer and closer to 50-50. And the same thing with your averages, that if you continue to calculate these averages and continue to get better at calculating them, you can say that this one customer that I got is a $5,000 long-term potential. They might be worth nothing more than that sale. But again, it's an average over time,
right,
that you have to keep saying that. You have to keep, like, fighting the fight. You have to keep working out.
Yeah, it's something that once you get the block and tackle, the nuts and bolts kind of thing of what to do every day, then it'll pay off down the road.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that really gets me excited as a marketing guy about knowing that cost per customer and how you got there is that just for the driving around example alone, for example, let's say that you're driving around and your cost is $250 and you got 25 names and email addresses, you got 25 leads or potential customers. Let's say you get a little bit better at that. Let's say you work up that if you wear a different kind of t-shirt or you say something different or you bring a different kind of sample or you figure out that it's a good idea to go into a big building instead of a bunch of small buildings, and what if you can change that number from 25 to 30?
Yeah.
Then all of the other numbers change. Because now you're spending the same amount of time and the same amount of cost, but your cost per that customer acquisition goes down. You know, you can see five more people, so maybe the number of sales in a week goes up. So your costs stay the same, but because you are better at one thing, then it has an exponential impact on the business.
And that's what's great is you can pick any of these things across the board and try to adjust it. And it will, and if you improve, then all of the numbers improve with it.
Right.
So you could also say, well, the average sale was, what was the average sale again? You have it in front of you.
It was $280.
$280. Well, if you could say, if I can get better at increasing my average sale by 10%,
right,
which is about 20 or so more dollars, yeah, then across the whole thing, you've made that much more money. Your cost per customer.
Yeah, if you increase your average sale by $30 and you went from three sales to four sales a day, you know, now that's another $120 of initial value in the same time and the same cost.
Yeah, in the same time and same cost.
Right.
Exactly. So you can improve these little things, but not everybody's going to want to drive around.
Right. And that's why I like that cost per customer number, because it may even give you an excuse not to drive around.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got that 7 or 8 hour day. What other marketing activities could you spend that $250 or so on, that we could apply this calculation to, Mark?
Well, we could turn around and say, what about some sort of local advertising?
Okay, so like a newspaper ad or a magazine ad or a newsletter ad.
Yeah, like maybe, like I have a community newsletter that I know it goes out to something like 10,000 homes,
yeah,
you know, within my zip code or so. And I see all types of little ads in there. There's usually three or four plastic surgery type of places.
Right. Where do you live? I don't know.
There's a bunch of pizza and Chinese food.
Yeah.
And a karate place. And they're the very typical things that you see in a community ad. And I think that an apparel thing could work in there.
It could. It might not.
Yeah.
It might completely bomb or it might be awesome. So.
Yeah. So, but there's something that you could do.
Right.
You know, and it's something you can try out and see if it works. So how could we start doing a little bit of math on that, maybe?
Well, the first thing you'd have to do is figure out how much the ad costs. And I think that $250 is actually pretty reasonable. I think it's kind of interesting.
I want to say that if you... I remember a friend of mine looked at it once before, and I think it was... I think this one particular was around $500
okay.
for a little corner ad.
Right.
But also, that $500 went out to, what did I say, like, it's like 10,000
homes or something
like that. Yeah,
it's a lot.
So it costs a little bit more, but you have a farther reach.
Well, let's say it's $500 then.
Okay.
Okay, so the important thing about doing one of these ads, especially, is it's worthless if you don't have a way to track the results.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you do an ad this month and next month your sales go up, unless you have some way to know that it came from that ad, you'll have no idea. You won't remember, okay, so is November usually a really good month for me? Is, you know, did something else happen that boosted my sales? Or really, was it because of the ad?
Did I spend 3 months driving around in the car
right.
and then say, getting tired, this isn't working for me, I'm going to post an ad, the next month you made a ton of money. Well, was all your money from all that?
It probably is. It's probably from driving around, right?
So you got to figure that out, and that's where, and we could probably do a whole, and I'm sure we will do a whole podcast on tracking these things.
Yeah.
But you could say offer a specific product code or
coupon code
or send people to a certain phone number or a certain email address or a certain website.
Yep. All that stuff is possible and not difficult and not very expensive to do.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to track that and make sure that, again, if you spent $500, how many people called you or went to the website?
Which would be leads or signups.
Mm-hmm.
That how many people gave you your information? How many potential customers introduced themselves to your business?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's... I really don't even have a number for this. I don't have a way to estimate this.
No, but I would say, I mean, if I'm going to be real,
yes,
I think it's going to be maybe five.
Five. Okay. You are even more Pollyanna about this kind of advertising than I am. So if it's five, that means that cost you $100 a lead
mm-hmm.
or $100 a potential customer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I would say, though, because they're coming to you, the close rate is probably going to be particularly high.
Right. So let's say you make three sales.
Yeah, I would say
I,
so.
I think
I mean, they because they came to you, they said, "Oh, we do need shirts for this event.
Right.
This is a shirt company right here, and they've got a little 5% off coupon. Sounds awesome. I'm going to give them a call."
Yeah. So let's say that everything is the same as our driving around for the day example,
mm-hmm.
just to keep the numbers easy. So let's say the average sale is $280.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a family reunion shirts or something along those lines, you know, then you're at a net, because we spent $500.
Yeah.
We got five customers introducing themselves to us. That means we spent $100 for each lead.
Okay.
Okay. The sales were $840 because we had an average sale of $280. We made three sales. So our net profit was $340. And it cost us $166.67 per customer.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a scenario where I would start questioning, should I do this again?
Right, because we just saw that the cost to buy a customer with the previous method of driving around, our estimate was about $83.
Yeah, and by the time you factor in the cost of your apparel and all these other things, you're probably pretty close to zero.
Right.
So then what do you do in this scenario, you know, is a whole thing to consider.
Yeah, because you have a couple of choices. You could really believe in this method of advertising for some reason, and you could work on that cost. So you could try to cut a better deal for the ad on the front end by calling the company and saying, hey, you know, it's just not working that well. Can you do something better for me on the ad cost? You could try changing your ad and running a couple of different versions and seeing if that impacts it. You could try answering the phone differently, or, you know, you're still back at that same spot with, okay, what happens if I increase the average sale a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, by asking that question about caps or things like that. What if I get a better landing page or answer the phone better or offer a better price? So you could decide to kind of mess with each one of those variables. Or you could say, you know what, it's already twice as expensive as driving around. Forget it.
Yes.
And move on.
And also, we could completely flip both of these scenarios. I don't think this is a case.
No, these aren't around. These aren't real case studies.
Yeah. Right. This is because you could have the flip.
Yeah.
You know, this local ad in your local paper could be, well, if you sign up for a year, it's only $150 a month.
Yeah.
You know, and then
absolutely.
And then now you're getting 5 customers for every ad. Well, it's like, all right, this is a no-brainer. I do nothing. I did one piece of work, and they bill my credit card $100-something a month. But I know that every month I'm making $500 or $800 in sales from it.
Right, and that's the attraction of that kind of place and ad thing, because your labor is no longer involved. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that calculation. So oftentimes, you know, you're free. There's actually kind of, what do they call it, an opportunity value.
Yeah.
To running an ad versus driving around, because now you've got 6 or 7 hours that you could do other things.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a case for all this. But the point of it all is just to start knowing these numbers and paying attention to it. So you can say driving around is not worth it, or advertising in this local paper is or is not worth it.
And I mean, you're going to have to try these things. You're going to have to invest in experimenting. And you're going to have to make stuff up. You know, you're going to have to estimate.
Yeah.
Join the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group and ask other people.
Yeah.
You know, how much does it cost you to do a local show? We're talking to a customer kind of offline right now who did that. She's doing her first kind of market or fair, and she's got some baby embroidery stuff. And, you know, it's how much is this going to cost me? How much does the time take? How much can I sell it for? So in the end, after the event, she can figure out, okay, was it a profitable thing that I want to do again?
Yeah, and what's great about it is you had mentioned about the labor cost in there and paying yourself.
Yes.
And this is what is important about it and scary in the number about it, okay?
Right.
If you do this and you say, I'm going to pay myself $20 an hour or whatever number you're going to pay yourself, or you're going to figure out what your cost is, at the end, that final number on profit per shirt might be a dollar.
Right.
And you're going to say, why would I, what kind of a business am I in at dollar? But don't forget, like,
you're paying yourself.
So you paid yourself a salary or an hourly wage.
Right.
And then in the end, you put some money in the bank outside of your paycheck.
So,
which is
so,
really cool.
So here, you know, I don't think I've done one of my pet peeve or high horse things in a long time.
All right.
Okay.
You've done it a lot.
So if, thanks. I appreciate that. So The point behind a business, technically, is to generate profit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Profit is the number that you put in the bank at the end of the month after you pay everything off. Okay, so, and that includes your salary. If you find yourself with no money in the bank, or you're going into your personal account, or you're just using 100% of the money to kind of add to your family income, you're not really in business. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You're in kind of a hobby that is self-sufficient. So that dollar that Mark just mentioned is nothing to sneeze at. It's a big deal, because even Amazon, for the first decade it was around, didn't do that.
Yeah.
They didn't
yeah.
put any money in the bank at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So the profit is a big deal. I don't want to gloss over that.
No, and I'm glad that you bring that up again, because it's two things that are not thought about enough, are paying yourself and then paying your, and then putting it aside for the bank.
Okay, so I think we should beat these scenarios to death, because I've got a couple of others. So.
And I actually have a thought.
Okay.
And I'm going to lose it if we go into another example. But the thought is that on that driving around scenario or the ad scenario, you can't let one day, one set of data define the success.
Right.
Because that first day, you might go out and make a $3,000 sale. And then you're going to say, I'm going to do this every day because it's fantastic.
Right.
You know, and then get discouraged because that doesn't happen again. Or you might do it for a bunch of days and you're saying, oh, every time I go out, I'm making, you know, $100. Do I want to spend the money somewhere else, etc.? But you got to do it over time a little.
Right.
Because you'll find that, again, you're going to get customers you didn't sell right away that will come from ads and from going out. And also the fact that you're going to have better days than others.
Right.
You're going to go out or do whatever you do, run an ad, go out, do something, and get nothing. And then you're going to get another one. You're going to blow the numbers out of the water. You're going to make 10 sales in a day.
Exactly right. And that kind of reminds me of this sales story that I read about at one time about a guy that went to work for a hardware company. And he was a new guy. And everyone else was doing really well. They were making a lot of money. And literally for the first year or 14 months, the guy did not make a single sale. And they thought he was going to get fired or leave. Month 15, he got a contract with Home Depot. That's what he had been working the entire time towards.
Mm-hmm.
So now his cost of sale looked, his numbers looked terrible.
Yeah.
Until he closed that deal with Home Depot, and he spent the next 10 years as the top salesperson because all he did was service that one account. So that's just kind of a story to reinforce what Mark said, is you can't take what you're doing today. At some point, you got to average things out. But you can't take the one day, the first day, the one show that you do, the one fair that you do, the one day driving around and the one ad and make all your assumptions from it.
Yeah, yeah. And a story like that is fantastic, but it's not a lesson that you should go for the biggest.
No, because you've gotta feed the baby for that 14 months. You
yeah,
know, you gotta do
yeah.
something. All right, so example number Trey.
Okay.
Is doing an event. Because a lot of our customers, some of our customers, this is all that they do.
Yeah.
Is they go from fair to fair or from art show or trade show to trade show and sell rhinestone transfers or pro-spangle transfers. Those are very popular to do that with. Or bling tees at cheer competitions or any number of examples.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, these local like farmers market community type
yeah.
of things are getting really trendy and cool.
Yeah.
If you
a lot
have,
of people with beards and like wax tip mustaches.
All that type of stuff.
A vest, it's very strange.
Yeah, somebody
for me.
There is going to be making some sort of organic dog treats.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? but in these, you know, this is just a little plug for this thing. If you have some of those local, you got to check it out and see if there's an apparel decorator
yeah.
there, and if you can, and if you think it's profitable to be there, because these are cool, you know, events like these are not quite fully tapped out yet.
And let's talk about the R value for this stuff at the end, because
okay.
I think that's a big deal, especially when you pick these events. And the great thing about an event, whatever it is you can do the math in advance again on what the cost is going to be,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to spend money on a 10 by 10 booth or a table or a tent.
Yeah.
And you're going to know exactly what that is. It can range anywhere from $100 to $10,000, you know, which I think probably an average is about $1,000. Is that fair? Does that seem good or is that a little high?
Well, it really depends on what we're talking about.
Okay.
You know, a local, I don't believe that like a local farmer's market event.
It's not
going to
be $1,000.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. However, if it's a massive, you know, community event where they're expecting, you know, 10,000 people,
right?
You know, or a particular trade show or something like that. Yeah, I mean, you could spend $1,000.
So
more, yeah.
I think it'd almost be worth, you know, not quite worth putting this podcast on pause while you look something up online, but you should find out. I mean, like if you're a horse enthusiast, or you know, you go to dog shows, or just there's local farmers markets that you know about. Find out specifically what that cost is.
Yeah. And you can also build up to them as well.
Yeah.
You could say, well, let me try the farmer's market thing. Let me see what works, what I want to do, how customers react to things.
Yep.
Because I'm planning this big equestrian event that happens in the spring of 2016.
Yeah, good point.
You know, so you can start to build up to these things. You know, just like anything else that you do, the first ad you might not be the most expensive ad in town.
Right.
You know, and the first event you might just be a small event, but you get into these things and you do the numbers on them.
So here's the great thing about doing any event is it gives you the opportunity not just to sell on the spot, but to build up your database. To get to introduce yourself to those potential customers. So if I spend $400 on a table at a local market,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is, you know, I may meet 150, 200 people that come by the booth. And maybe none of them buy something, but 100 of them sign up on my little sign-up sheet because they want to know when I'm going to have a sale again.
Yeah.
You know, so then now you've got a great cost per lead. Cost you $400 to do it. You get 200 people to sign up on your sheet. you know, that's $2 a lead or $2 for a potential customer.
Yeah, and that's where, again, the numbers start getting really great.
Right.
Because now you mentioned about the R value, which hopefully you've listened to the previous podcast to this, and this is the value of referral business
right.
and growth from those initial customers.
Right, right.
So that's where you can start adding this in to, it works for all of the equations, but especially in events. If now's a good time to get into it a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I'll tell you what, let's just finish off the math for the event,
let's
and then we'll
that.
Talk about the
yeah.
R value. So, you know, the idea, again, just like we did with the other examples of driving around and placing an ad, you know, if you do an event, you're going to have a specific cost. You know, maybe it's $400, and maybe you get, you know, even if it's just 100 people that sign up on your sheet,
okay.
Now you're spending $4 for a potential customer.
All right.
You put those into database, and we'll also talk in a little bit about why that's valuable, is putting
mm-hmm.
them into the database. And, you know, so you're going to make the same kind of sales, and you can do the math from here yourself. So if you make, you know, if 20 people buy $20 worth of stuff, you just made your $400 back.
Yeah.
You know, you made your $400 back, and your cost per customer is basically a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so
yeah.
So now you can see, do I want to spend a dollar to buy a customer, or do I want to spend $83 to buy a customer, or do I want to spend $166 to buy a customer? And then you take all that and you put it back into your initial value spreadsheet and you figure out if it's worth it.
Yeah, because there's all of this is, you know, time factors into all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, not always, but oftentimes the less time that you have to spend to get a customer,
yes,
the more it costs.
Yeah, see, that's a good point. We left the time out of our calculation
mm-hmm.
for the trade show
yeah.
or the market, because it's going to take you basically a total of a day to get ready and a day to do it. So, you know, that's 16 hours at $20 an hour. You know, that's significant. What is that, $320?
That sounds about right.
So now your cost of the show is actually $720.
Sure, okay.
So really good to, you know, I mean, that's a good catch. You've got to figure out your labor, not just the cost of the booth, you know, and the table and getting set up. And the cost of preparing for it, and the cost of tearing it down, and what happens afterwards.
And there's plenty of initial investment costs that you're going to say over time, well, do I have to buy a tent? How much is that going to cost me? How many events am I going to do with this? There's a lot of little things to consider and look at with it. But in the end now, when we started doing that math, it might have turned out that you broke even on that event.
Right.
So do you go? Do you go?
Well, that depends on your evaluation and on what you think is going to happen because you went to that show.
Yeah, and that's where we talk about that referral value, the R value, or the value, the long-term value of these potential customers.
Right.
And this is where you just have to use some intuition in the beginning. Eventually, you're going to have a bunch of numbers, and you're going to know.
Right.
In 3 years' time, you're going to say, every time I go to an event, it yields to this.
Yes.
Because I track these customers.
I love that.
In my CRM, which
yes.
we talked about in the previous episode.
Right.
And all these things, you're going to know over time. But in the beginning, you're kind of going to have to use intuition and guess. And keep it simple. Again, don't get too caught up. We get so caught up in trying to figure things out and knowing details and guessing and fear comes into play and all of these things come in that we just decide not to do anything.
Right.
Because it's easier than being worried about it or
it's easier just to stare at the phone and hope that it rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really
but
is.
But what you do is what I mean by using your intuition on this event is to say, okay, I'm going to go to a local farmer's market and based on the previous time I went, I broke even. Okay.
Right.
However, I met 100 people or whatever the number
yes.
was. I met 100 people. And I know I had at least like 5 really good conversations.
Right.
So one gentleman is, you know, he's on the school board. And he
nice.
Talked about possibly doing shirts next year. They
yes.
need another company to bid. You met a firefighter. And he thought your shirts were so cool. And he said, we do all these charity events all the time.
Yeah.
We do these things. We're always tearing up T-shirts. So you start thinking about the people you met. So your referral value and your long-term customer value is probably high on that event. And you might say, you know what? Every time I go, I break even. However, I get a lot of really good leads and I meet contacts that I would say that I'll do this every weekend, you know, that they do it, say, which is maybe once a month. I'm going to do this for 6 months because every time I go, the R value is really high.
Yeah.
I really feel that I'm going to get long-term business out of this, and it's worth being at zero because you paid yourself. Remember, you paid yourself.
Yeah, that's
included. You didn't make no money.
Right.
You paid yourself. You just didn't put money in the bank on it.
But let's point something out. I mean, you're going to be guessing the entire career of your business if you don't have a way to record the customers that came to that show and track whether or not they actually buy anything from you. You know, or they refer anything from you. So please listen to that episode of the CAS podcast on wasting money on marketing, because you've got to keep track of these people. You have to know that this set of customer came from these kinds of shows. And the other estimation is let's say you go to a show and only actual farmers show up.
Oh, okay.
And they live, no offense farmers, but you know, you're 500 acres from your neighbors. And you might not know that many people.
Yeah.
You know, you might not have a lot of opportunity to give referrals or to buy a bunch of t-shirts. So you could go to that every month or every quarter or every year and maybe only get initial sales there. And maybe that's break even. But the R value is almost zero.
Yeah.
So don't go.
Yeah, don't go.
Because remember, there's still that kind of economic cost of what else could I be doing if I wasn't doing this show.
So we've discussed in the past, like doing, is it like cheer or dance events? You know, if you've got rhinestone equipment and you do those events. So I think that is another example that just is perfect for this.
Yeah.
Because it might cost you a good amount to go there. You might have to spend a lot on the booth. The travel cost might be high because these might not all be local. You know, you might live in Florida and the event's in Georgia. So it's multiple days worth of travel. However, if you know that you're going to be able to service and build into your community where you say, I'm going to meet tons of people, moms, kids, coaches, event coordinators. I'm going to get people to sign up for, say, my email list.
Absolutely.
Because
important.
I have a website where I sell these cool custom shirts and I have a feeling that I can get people to come back and buy them. Then in the end, you might not have even necessarily earned money on that event. You might have even lost a
money.
Little bit.
Yeah.
However, you know that R value is so huge because I'm going to see 500 people and they're all going to go to my website and I'm going to get them to sign up for my email list. I'll send them out when I have a new design and a shirt.
Yeah.
It's the cost of that customer now, it takes a little longer to do that math.
Right.
Because you have to say, well, I did this event, then I'm going to send these emails, come out with these t-shirts, etc. I'm going to know really the number on that event in, say, 4 or 5 months. Great value. If it's an international event,
right. Now,
let's say that it's that same event, but they're coming from all over the world.
The R value may be a little bit lower because those people from other countries might be less likely to buy from you and more likely to buy local.
Yeah. Is somebody from Germany going to order a custom t-shirt from you when your website and business is based in Tennessee?
They might, but the potential is lower.
The potential is lower compared to if it's a Southeast conference where everybody is within a day or so shipping time from you and they might order that stuff online or even order their custom stuff.
Right. So guys, I mean, this is what it is to run a business. You know, if you wake up every day and all you do is print t-shirts or run your embroidery machine or make rhinestone transfers, you're probably not going to grow your business.
Mm-hmm.
These are the activities that you need to try or do in order to grow and make real profits at the end of the month. And you have to keep track of it in between. I mean, this is actually the business of doing business in custom apparel. It's a very important part, and it's not something that you can ignore and be easily successful.
I think that it is all of this. A lot of these podcasts, really just in general, I think all of them, are just about a mindset. It's about a business mindset that you get into where you start trying to do math the right way. And you might not do it the right way. You might not factor in everything, or you might not have a fancy Excel spreadsheet, whatever it could be.
Right.
But you get into this mindset of saying, and just going through, you know, our podcast, you're going to keep track of your customers. You're going to consider how you market to them. You're going to start doing math and numbers on what each one is worth and how much it costs to go to the events and do different types of marketing. And what did I make from that event? Just get the theory behind it all.
Yeah.
And that mindset is what makes a difference.
What does it mean? Like, you'll understand it once you have all of this. And especially, I think, you know, like if you've listened to all 18 of these episodes, or at least the ones that you think apply to you or on the basic business, then you're just about at that point where you can actually know what it means if I add like one little thing to every order. Mm-hmm. You know, if I reduce my cost to get a customer by just a little bit, if I get one more customer a week, you know, all of these things that a sales or a marketing person focus on, that a small business should be focusing on, then man, you're so far ahead of the game. And you have a such higher probability of success than you did beforehand, that it makes me happy that we're doing these.
Yeah.
You know, because in the custom apparel business, let's face it, a lot of people get into it because they're growing a hobby, or they like doing the thing. And we've talked about that in other podcasts. But they're not necessarily good at doing business. And if you're like that, then you might be able to pay the mortgage, and maybe that's all that you want. But, you know, if you really want to be successful in business, then, you know, this stuff will help.
Know your numbers.
Yeah, know your numbers. I mean, your accountant will love you if you know your numbers.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I think that hopefully we've put some good thoughts into this and helped to seed out there on what, knowing what it costs to get that customer, knowing what... the theory of buying customers, what it means to invest money to get new customers, and how to know if it's worth it or not.
Yeah, that's really the big question, because I know a lot of people out there, you know, they do a $500 ad and then they don't know if it's going to work or not. They do an event, and because they don't keep track of the people that were at it, they never know if it's profitable or not. So they don't see as reason to spend, so they don't.
So know the numbers and track the history of it, what happened to it, where they came from, as best as you can.
Actually, just listen to all of our podcasts.
Yeah.
So,
well, this is the first one. You should go back. Recommend it.
Episode 17.
Yeah, there's a lot of great information. If this is the first one you're listening to, go back and learn a whole bunch more stuff, because you're part of an elite group of people that are taking the time to really grow their business and do great at it.
Yeah. I agree, and we are we're happy to have you guys as customers and as listeners to the podcast. So that has been our legal voting age episode 18 of the Custom Apparel Startups podcast. Know your numbers, the theory behind buying customers. And this is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.